Welcome to the Peace Apostolic Ministries podcast. For more information about Peace or other resources from John Alley, visit peace.org.au. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at our website, peace.org.au/give, or use the donate button in our app. Thanks for joining with us today. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Absolutely love your worship team. Then again, I just love music, so this is good music. You guys are blessed to have this in your church. And I'm always thankful because I'm actually thankful for moms and dads who paid for piano lessons and stuff like that and had to listen to all the bad playing while they were learning how to do this better. So I'm very thankful for those people too. But when we were worshiping just a few minutes ago, I felt like the Lord was speaking something for some people here tonight. And the story is about a centurion who came seeking Jesus because he had a problem back home. And this is what I heard the Lord say: you have come seeking me. You've come seeking more of me. You've come to hear me. You've come in faith. And yet back home there is something. I don't want you to understand, God is not just here. God's back home right now. This is what I believe that the Lord is saying. He's healing some things and restoring some things back home. For somebody here tonight, maybe for several somebodies, but that's just the word that the Lord spoke to my heart. It's not just what God's doing right here in these four walls. It's what God's doing in the earth. And as your obedience in coming, that God is going to take care of some things back home for you. So there you can have that one. So if you have a Bible, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 4. And just the first five verses, this is, happens to be the New Living Translation for, I'm going to read this tonight, but interesting. But Moses protested. He was a protester. He was a Protestant before there was any. But he protested again, and here's what it was. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you? How do you prove that? And so he's struggling with this. And the Lord asked him, it's funny how the Lord always does this. He usually asks you questions. What's in your hand? And he said, a shepherd's staff. Moses replied. He said, then throw it down on the ground. And the Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff and it turned into a snake. And Moses jumped back. He didn't realize what he had. And then the Lord told him, now reach out and grab its tail. I don't know if you realize that's not really the best approach on snakes, but that's just me. So Moses reached out, he grabbed it in obedience to what the Lord told him to do, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. He said, perform this sign, the Lord told him, and then they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob really has appeared to you. Now, it's interesting to me, this was not a sign for the Egyptians. This was for God's people. That's what he's talking about. When you go down there and you're trying to convey to them that some vision or burden that God has put upon your life that's going to be good for them, it's the will of God for their life, and sometimes people have trouble believing that and seeing that. But the thing I want us to, that the Holy Spirit actually had spoke this word to me right before I came here, and it was, what's that in your hand? One of those interesting questions. What have you got in your hand? Possibly, I'm not the only person here in this room who has felt some sense of inadequacy when you've heard some kind of a word from God that just sounded like, too much. Like, you're really? Wow. And I feel inadequate for what the call is, what the kind of vision. I mean, our God is the God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So my thinking is kind of boxed in, and he's always outside of that somewhere. And when he starts bringing some of those outside thoughts and instructions into us, sometimes we struggle with those things. And a lot of it is just the inadequacy that we feel. as in our capacities, our knowledge, our wisdom, our education, whatever it is, we feel inadequate sometimes. And the cause may be we do not recognize what we already have in our hands. Now, Moses, what did he see? He saw a shepherd's rod. God said, that's not what I see. I see a miracle-working instrument capable of doing, of parting the Red Sea, capable of striking a rock, making water. I mean, that's what God saw. But all that Moses could see was a shepherd's rod. So I think that the Lord is wanting to say some things to us in these, in all these meetings that we're having, but tonight especially, about us considering what it is that we have. It's once again, it's about our perception or our recognition. And I think those are great things that are of great value to the men of God when we have, and women of God, when we have developed a certain level of perception and we begin to recognize things for what they really are. Instead of measuring them against our normal carnal mind of, well, we've never seen that happen before. I don't see how that's ever going to work. And we're measuring everything by the limitations of our own hearts and mind, where God says, I want you to think like I think. Now, I remember a guy named Charles Simpson. He was talking about one time he went to Europe, the very first time he went to Europe, and they have different electricity there. They have like 220 or 240, whatever it is, where in the United States we have 110. And he got confused, and he found out the difference between a transformer and an adapter. An adapter allows you to plug your thing into the wall, but it doesn't step it down to where it will run right. He said, my wife plugged her hair dryer in with that adapter the very first time, and it ran better than it ever run in its life for about 5 seconds, and it never ran again. And I have a feeling that if the mind of God was ever to touch my mind, I'd have some great thoughts for about 1 second, and then my brain would just leak out my ears. I mean, this is the mind of God we're talking about here. You know, just great stuff. So my wife and I, this is a little story about us. 27 years ago, we were building the house that we live in now, and there was a need for some dirt, quite a bit of dirt. And you need to understand, my wife's father owned a stone quarry. So when it came to rock, dirt, blacktop, things like that, we never paid for anything. We got it all for free. So that was great. Unfortunately, he'd sold the quarry. So all of a sudden, now we're in the same boat everybody else is. And you actually have to pay for this stuff. Got to pay for dirt. Like, gee, and I mean, I'm talking like $10,000 for dirt. I thought, gee whiz. And suddenly it dawned on me, and we had about 2 acres of ground. I thought, I already own dirt. I'll dig a pond. It couldn't cost $10,000 to dig a pond. And for $2,700, I got $10,000 worth of dirt because I already owned it. But you see, it could have been there the whole time and I could have paid the $10,000 and I would have done it because I didn't recognize what was already in my hand. And I think a lot of us do things like that where we just, because we can't perceive the possibilities of what we already have, and especially if we're willing to do whatever it is with it that God tells us to do with it, that we come up short. It was there. It has to be recognized. It just has to be recognized. 4 years ago, I was at a meeting with a prophet, a fellow I had met. I'd met him several times. I'd never been in a meeting with him, and we were a small church, and just going to be a few people there on a Thursday night. And my wife and I decided that we would just stay over and visit that church that night, one of our armed churches, and we would do that. So let me put a pause right there because I'm always reminded at this point because this is a small church on a Thursday night, which means this is we're just barely hanging in here. I'm just whoever, the faithful few that show up on, you know, like what's great things going to happen on a Thursday night. Well, I remembered one of the mentors in my life was a fellow named George Stormont, an old English preacher. And God blessed me to know him and have fellowship with him for a number of years. And he preached a message, I remember, and he was talking about Moses and the burning bush. And he started out something like this. It was an ordinary day. And Moses was doing his ordinary job, watching ordinary sheep. But God can break through on an ordinary day. That just always stuck with me, that sometimes we just don't think there's anything, any possibility, anything great going on in our life as we're just kind of going through life. God can break through any time, and he did for him. And back to this thing. Apostle Chuck Clayton had died several years before. I had become the leader of ARM by this time, and I was still pastoring our local church, which we founded about 40 years ago. And the idea of finding the will of God for someone that I could turn this church over to was always on my mind. I was getting, in America, you're supposed to retire when you're 65 or 66. I'm already there. And I'm not anywhere near to being done with this. And now I've got two jobs. So I'm thinking, this is not working so well. And but this is on my mind. But I wanted to make sure, it's got to be the right person. And I knew things I had in my heart about the kind of person that it should be. And it should be somebody that was a real son. If this was going to work right, it had to be that. Well, anyway, the prophet, he begins to speak that night in that little ordinary church, Thursday night, not many people there. And he whips around real quick and he points at me. And I don't know exactly what he said, but this was kind of the gist of it. He said, "Pastor, don't worry about the future. I'm already there. I have everything arranged." I'm good. "The people you need are already in place. They just have to be recognized. That will come out of a time of prayer and fasting." I thought, okay, I'm paying attention to all this. I believe this is a prophet from the Lord, and I'm game because I want to find out what we're supposed to do. A couple months later, we call a week of prayer and fasting. And I think it's about the second day I'm in our prayer chapel. I'm praying about some things. And I'm praying about a lot of young people who'd kind of been in our church, grew up in church, and they just kind of were away from God. And just on my heart to pray for these people. And I'm writing their names up on a list like this. And I'm praying for other kinds of things too. And all of a sudden this name comes up, Caleb Lay. And I thought, well, he's not one of those people. He's in church right now. He's a good young man. I thought, wow, what's this? The Lord said, "What were you just praying about right now?" I thought, him? Are you kidding me? He's so young. He's 24. I don't know what he knows. Gee whiz. Gosh. So I don't want to make a mistake here. This is too important. And so I asked the two people that I have great confidence in, my wife and the prophet who's worked with me for 40 years. I go to my wife and she says, "I can see that. I think that would be good." But I thought, but I'm going to the prophet, so he's going to whip out some big prophecy about this. And so I'm telling him, you know, how I discovered or how this thought came to my mind and all this. And I said, "So what do you think?" He said, "Well, I guess we could ask him, see if he's interested or not." I thought, come on. Is that it? Thus saith the Lord something. Come on, man. Next night, we're just having a night of worship and prayer during this whole week. It's Wednesday night in our church. And this young man gets up, and for the first time ever in our church, wants to give a testimony. He's never done it. He's been there for years, has never done this. And I thought, okay. And I am looking at him. I'm looking up and down. I'm looking up and down. I'm thinking, what am I looking at here, God? Because I'm still not sure. And I don't want to make a mistake. And So after we get through, and I asked him and his wife if they would come to my office, I wanted to talk to him. Of course, he thought, oh, fine, I probably messed up the testimony. Going to get chewed out, got called to the principal's office, you know, kind of thing. He come in there, and so I thought, I'll just tell you what I think I heard God say. I said, what do you think? He said, well, if it'd been this time last week, I'd probably gone running out of the office screaming and say, leave me alone. But last Sunday, he said, while you were preaching, and I wasn't preaching about this, when you were preaching, all of a sudden God reminded me of a word that I received at a youth camp when I was 15 years old, that God had a call on my life. And I just kind of forgot, I just kind of shoved it aside. I'd forgot about it. So I said, so does that mean you're interested? I said, listen, let's just do it this way. You go home, you and your wife, you pray about it. I prayed with them, sent them home. You think about it, it's a big decision. And before the week was over, he said, yes, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. And his wife said, I agree, this is what we're supposed to do. I thought, touchdown. You know, this is good stuff. That guy could have sat in my church for the next 10 years and I would have never recognized that on his life if God hadn't just opened my eyes or spoke to my heart. So I'm saying there's things going on around us and we're just thinking, God, you just send some other people in our church. Maybe they're already there. Maybe the people you need are already sitting in your congregation. Maybe the people are, that's the guy that lives next door and you're just supposed to reach out to him. I don't know, but there's things that we have to recognize that God, I believe, has already inserted for our good and for the needs that we have as men and women of God, that God has those things, but they have to be recognized. God helped me to see what was already there. Now, along those lines, I think when I think about discernment, which a lot of people count that as like spiritual gifts, discerning of spirits, and it is that, but I think we have always taken discernment as in a negative sense. Normally, I'm just discerning that there's an evil spirit here. What if we discern that there's the Holy Spirit's here? Or we discern that God's doing something good in somebody's life? That needs to be discerned too. And so just keep those things in mind. Look at Genesis chapter 28. There's a story here I want to look at just for a moment. Genesis 28 and beginning in verse 10. This is a story about Jacob that has stuck with me for many years. And I don't know, just really has always spoken to me. It said, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and he went down toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. He took one of the stones of that place and he put it at his head and he lay down in that place to sleep. He's in the desert. He's got a rock for a pillow. This is not the Holiday Inn. He's in the middle of nowhere. He's by himself, he thinks. It said, then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And the land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and the south. And in you and in all your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. I'll bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I've spoken to you. But boy, that's a good prophetic word. We could say, thus saith the Lord, because it was the Lord saying it. And Jacob woke up from his sleep, and this is the part. Surely the Lord's in this place, and I didn't know it. I'm thinking the church is like that about half the time. The Lord's in this place, and we just don't know it. We just think we're in a tough spot in life, and we're trying to make sense of maybe what's going on around about us. It's like this guy just wandering around, and yet I wonder if there might be some people here today who feel like they're in some desert spot. And they feel maybe a little bit alone. This is my prayer for you, and that is that you will receive a revelation of the presence of God in your situation. Because I think that God is, if he's true to his word, he is Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's not God coming around to visit occasionally. He is Emmanuel. He's made that promise to us. But we have to once again recognize it. We have to maybe be looking for that. I don't think he was looking for it at all, but God showed it up anyway. God transformed this young man's life, made a promise to him that he'd made to his grandfather, and he'd repeated it to his father, and now he repeated it to this son. Same promise of what God was going to do in those people. And I think maybe that speaks to this apostolic nature of the body of Christ and that things that we're talking about here at this conference, and that is that God begins to speak, as Brother John was just saying a minute ago, how do I do all this? I do it through sons. It's not just, God said, I'm going to do this. I know there's things that God has told me that I'm never going to accomplish, but I believe that my sons are going to do it. I have to start thinking longer term than just me, my ministry, and my lifetime, and that sort of thing, because God doesn't think about stuff like that. He just says it's going to happen, and it's going to happen. So I'm just with him, and that's, if it's in my lifetime, that's fine. Moses never got to the promised land. His son did. Joshua did. The guy that ministered to him, he made it. So in that sense, so did Moses. He succeeded. He just did it through his son. One final thought, and that is in John chapter 6, verse 5. It said, Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. And turning to Philip, he asked, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? Jesus is just great about asking these pointed questions that make people uncomfortable. I don't know if you've ever had God do that to you, but he just does that. And that's what he was doing. Where can we buy food, buy bread to feed all these people? He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed all these people. So then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Well, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And in the economy of God, that's enough. In the hand of God, that's enough. You can feed everybody with that in the hand of God. But what good is that with this huge crowd? He said, then tell everybody to sit down, Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes, and the men also numbered about 5,000, which meant there are probably 10, 15,000 people there. If there was just men and, let's say, their wives and a couple kids were there, that'd be a big crowd. He's going to feed all these people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus took the loaves, he gave thanks to God, and he began to distribute them to the people. And afterwards, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. And after everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather up the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So I think probably the little boy went home with more than he came with. 12 baskets full. That's a little bit more than he came with. It's because he was willing to put what he had in the hands of God. So they picked up the pieces, filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people at eaten from the 5 barley loaves. So the question that the Lord has for us tonight is, what's in your hand? And when you look at what's in your hand, do you see it as being adequate to accomplish what it is that you're trying to do? I'll be real honest, as a pastor, for many years, I always have more vision than provision. I've always got big ideas that cost money, and it takes some time, but, you know, God's been very, very faithful to us as a church and as an organization. He's done some great things for us over the years, but there's times that it just seems like what we have is not enough. Just like back there in Exodus, he didn't think he had enough, and God said, yeah, that thing you got in your hand, that's enough. If you give it to me, you let me do something with it, it'll be enough. And you'll be able to deliver God's people if you'll just trust me with what you've got in your hand. And this little boy had to do the same thing. So the question then becomes, are we willing to release that which seems little in our eyes, what we already have, and to trust God to multiply, magnify, however, I don't know how he does it, he just does it, however he did that here, with a little something that will become a great and a very useful thing for the sake of the kingdom of God. Now, this was a message in it, and it doesn't have to have anything to do with taking up an offering, but I felt the Lord say something to me personally anyway. And I'm coming here, I'm the guest speaker, and the Lord said, I want you to bring an offering for this ministry. I thought I was supposed to get one. I thought that's the way this thing worked. Well, it does, but God wants to know, what have I got in my hand? And I have this one account in our church. I've got one in our church. Some people give money to me. It's just called an apostolic fund. It's in our church as well as what we have in ARM. And I emptied it out. Because the kinds of things I've got in my mind, what was in there wasn't going to fix it anyway. And we're not in any bad shape. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying, those are the kinds of things that we do. I remember early on in our ministry, my wife and I, we don't know what we're doing, but we're faithful about it anyway. We're really trying to be faithful, even in our ignorance. And we're down. My wife's a teacher, but she's got kids. I want her to stay home, raise our kids. I'm in the ministry, which doesn't mean too much financially. No promises about anything. I guess it's a Saturday night. I'm thinking about church in the morning. I'm thinking about taking my offering. And I begin to count up. I mean, I'm taking the change out of the couch. And out of our everything is $47.50. That stands between us and poverty. And I looked at my wife and I said, you probably think this is strange. I think we're supposed to put all this in the offering tomorrow. Because the $47.50 was not going to fix anything in my life. But if I was willing to put it in the hand of God, something might happen. And may I tell you, it did. It did for us. It's just my testimony. And that is that I can almost point from that time on, everything began to change for us financially. And it's not like we became filthy rich or anything, but we've been greatly blessed. And it seems like we've had things that we've needed. And I want you to know, I have a gift of giving. I have that particular gift. And some people here may have a gift of giving, and I'm going to tell you the two things that the Lord told me that you're going to need if you have a gift of giving. Number one, you're going to have to be able to hear from God. And number two, you need money. One without the other would be frustration. You got to know what you're supposed to do, but you have to also... God has to enrich me in such a way that I can be a blessing to other people, that I can give. And I've got this one other scripture I want to put up here, if you would. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. He said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly. Don't be like that. On the other hand, and... please hear me. I'm not trying to do this at all or under compulsion. I'm not trying to make anybody do anything tonight. I hate that stuff personally. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I've been told that God loves a cheerful giver, but it'd take money from a grouch, but I don't know if that's true or not. I repent for that. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound unto every good work. Now, I want you to know, I'm not there yet, but I'm making that my goal. And see, it's not my goal to say, does Bob and Sarah Houselman and their household, do they have enough? That's not enough. If I settle for that, I can never be this. I'm not going to be able to abound unto every good work. When something comes up and I want to do something, and money is the answer to some things, it really is. Encouragement's great, prayer's wonderful. Sometimes you just need money. I mean, don't you need it at your house too sometimes? I mean, this is the way we operate in this world. But I want to be able to abound unto every good work. Now I'm going to need once again wisdom and discernment to know what every good work is. It's not everybody that's got their hand out maybe or whatever, but when I see things that I believe in, I want to put money in that direction. I want to do more than just say, I bless you. I want to bless you. Now, for years, I'll be honest with you, this is just a testimony. There's been a number of ministries that my wife and I support every month. John Alley's one of them. I don't know how many years, but years we've been doing that. And our church does the same thing, that we send some money to John Alley Apostolic Ministries and to whatever it is that he needs. And I don't know what it is, nor do I care. I just believe in this apostolic thing. I'm sowing something into this apostolic ministry because I want to see this thing work in the earth. And so I came tonight with an offering. And like I said, I cleaned house again. And we're going to receive an offering here in a minute. I'm going to let somebody else do that stuff. But I'd like for us to pray because there's one other part to all this. And that is that I do believe in the principle, give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, so that as I give, then that opens up a blessing for me as well. But I have one of the other things that goes on in my life is I have a very entrepreneurial spirit. And God has just blessed me, and my family, we're very entrepreneurial. And I like to pray with people for God to open up income streams into people's lives. So to me, this is not just about how much money are we going to give to John, you know, during this time. We're doing that, yes, because I believe in it. But this is also about your enrichment. I want you to be able to do the same thing. I want you to be able to abound to every good work. This is not just about me or John being able to do this. This is about the body of Christ being able to do this. And so if you wouldn't mind, would you please stand with me? And I'd just like to lead in prayer. I just kept hearing this thing about being fully funded. I don't even know what that means. I mean, I kind of, in general terms, I know, but there must be something that needs to happen, and I want to speak this word by faith. I just want to speak it out into the Spirit of God that the things that God has put before John and this church and the ministry to do, I want to just speak a word that it's going to be fully funded. Not just a little bit, it's going to be fully, fully funded. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we're thanking you tonight that you have allowed us, first of all, to know your Son Jesus and to be a part of your family and to be a part of the body of Christ. Thank you so much. We're here tonight, Father, and whether we see what we have in our hand as something very small, not very significant. Father, that if people, as you would just speak to people, that Father, as they would give, whether it's a little something or a great big something, whatever it is, whatever you show people to do, that Father, that as they release that, I'm thinking you're going to do that magnification thing. You're going to multiply things, that you're going to enrich these people. And Father, that this ministry is going to be, I say it again, fully funded, having all sufficiency in all things, that we're able to abound to every good work. And Father, I stand against anything tonight, any kind of demonic spirit, any kind of an opposition in the spirit realm concerning finances over this church and over the people of this church and over the people that are here and their churches and their households and their families, whatever country they're from, whatever state in Australia they're from. I speak tonight in Jesus' name by the faith that you've given to me. And Father, that in their life will become fully funded as well. That God would so enrich people, that God would open up new income streams, Father, to enrich your people. You said you're the one who gives us the power to get wealth. So, Father, we receive that power tonight. We just We need power to cast out devils. We need power to heal the sick. We need power to obtain wealth as well. However you do that, God, that's what your word says. You're the one who gives it to us. We're asking for it tonight. Give us the power to get wealth. Father, we want to give you the glory. We want to give you all the praise. We want to thank you, Father, that as we are faithful in little things, we're faithful with what we have in our hand, that we would give, and it will be given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto the bosoms of these people. I agree with them. I agree with the word of God. And I pray all this by faith. I call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord.